Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward on this 29th day of August in the Word of God. And I have a prayer for us this morning from our 365 days of prayer. Wise words. And as you know, we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon, as they say, he's just dropping knowledge. And it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Infinite ones, your power knows no limits or boundaries. Your wisdom constantly counsels me, leading me into truth. Your love follows me all the days of my life. To go on about how you lead, love, and center me in every area of my life. Lord, I am that you give us the ability to distinguish the spirit behind every movement is enough. The fruit of a life or ministry is the clue to know whether it's aligned with you or not. God, as I seek you, I will not be afraid of falling prey to false doctrine or prophets, knowing that you are the ultimate leader. Help me to keep your law of love in mind when I test the fruit of different ministries. Thank you that in you I know the truth. And the truth sets me free. Do you trust that you are able to test whether a teacher is God or not? It is something that we must think about, that it is of God. Because we have been warned, we have been told that in these last evil days, there will be many false teachers and false doctrines. And I was watching something on YouTube last night, and it was talking about the curse of Ham, and oh, it went into such a direction that I was like, excuse me. You know, and then they even had a little chart to try to explain the mess that they were talking about, and I'm not even going to get into it because it was disgusting. And it was like, well, you know, this is that, and this is, I'm like, uh-uh, that's some false doctrine, and I don't care how many charts and whatever else you come up with, that is not what the Word of God says. You know, folks will take the Word of God and switch it, change it, and bastardize it, and we have got to ask God, give us discernment, Lord. Help us to know the false from the truth. And we have to ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just need you, please, God. Give us understanding. Give us discernment. Give us your thinking on this word, God. Father God, as I ask every day, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And, Lord God, I ask you, as always, guide me and lead me in what to say. Let your words come through me. Take me out of this picture, God, your humble servant. Open to receive what you want me to say. Cover me in the blood and cover all those listening, Lord God. Bless them. Guide them and bless them with the coverage of the blood of Jesus. Let no hurt, no harm, no danger come nigh to any that listen live and any that listen later. Lord God, cover your children. but the enemy is busy. But we know, God, you can. And because we are your children, and we stand with our Father, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I read the word of God because I failed so many times that I have listened to ministry preach, pastors preach, and I failed when I read it myself. I know the word that they're preaching. Know when it's being preached out of context. Because you can take anything that's in the word of God and preach a message. And it sometimes may be in context, but sometimes may not be. You know, as we read today. So please join me in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. 103rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5, which is where our title comes from this morning. Proverbs 24, 7 through 9. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. grass was cut, so I got a little bit of congestion, but I am going to move forward. Keep me in your prayers. And as we get into the word of God, it says a good name is better than precious ointment. And you can take that word right there. And you can preach a whole message on a good name. Because a good name is important. Solomon understood that. He had a good name of a man of wisdom to the point kings and queens came from all over to visit with him. The Queen of Sheba came to visit with him. And we all know the story of how the last who was supposed to be the last descendant from the Ethiopian crown, which is the descendant of the Queen of Sheba and Solomon. That is the story. That is where descendants came from Solomon. And it goes on to tell us, and the day of death being the day of one's birth. And I got to say that again. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death being the day of one's birth. And the reason why, I'm going to put a pin in it. The day of death tells all that you've done since your day of birth. What did you accomplish in this life? What did you accomplish? Did you accomplish great things? Or did you just take up space to help your neighbor and nobody was looking? But your neighbor says, hey, I know them. And they did this, that, and the other. They were good people. Do you have a good name? And when you leave this earth, will you have a good name? Will people speak highly of you? And it says, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. And the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Or like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten to your spirit to be angry. But anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not form a day better than these, for you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who seek the Son. But wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so the man can find out nothing that will come after him. I have seen a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Excuse me. I remember as a kid, you know, when somebody's young, the guys, we'd hear the term, only the good dies young. You know, but the wicked live forever. You know, and I didn't understand that. My husband died. But I just say that sometimes God lets us live a little longer so we can get it right. And maybe they got it right a little before we did. Excuse me. A little cold again this morning, but I think it's the coldest time. And some sinuses. But I am on antibiotics, so keep me in a prayer. Do not be overly righteous. Come on now. Nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Solomon is having a moment. Do not be overly wicked. Be foolish. Why should you die before you're dead? It is good that you grasp it and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. But there is not a man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take the heart anything people say. Lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, even the deep. We can find it out. I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death. The woman whose hands are set, that is, he who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trespassed by her. And it makes excuse me. We're going to have to take a quick minute, and I'll be right back.
Going back, moving ahead, here to declare to you, the past is over.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was, I needed that just then. Thank you, Jesus. And thank all of you giving me just a minute of a break. Again, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Minister Bridget, who is just a little congested today. but we'll be fine in Jesus' name. And I like this because in verse 26, as you know, all through Proverbs, Solomon talks about wicked women. And honestly, I believe he's talking about himself because he got ensnared with all these women, with all these different faiths, with all these different gods. He got ensnared. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snared and met. Whose hands are fettered, who pleases God shall, he who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason. Again, knowledge and wisdom, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright without many sins. He's gone through. And he's a little angry. You know, and I love how Dr. Stanley breaks it down for us. He says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. We live in an entertainment age in which people increasingly value mindless diversions over substantive pursuits that might require some thinking. Fun is great, but never as the main goal of life. You know, we have folks that are quote-unquote influencers. Ooh, let me learn this new dance so I can have it for the club. And then they're on YouTube for hours watching and learning dance. You know, they are on Snapchat, you know, filtering and making pictures and, ooh, I look cute. Ooh, let me do something with my hair because I want my Snapchat to be on fire. You know, then, oh, let's not forget TikTok. Oh, I got to learn this and I got to get on TikTok because I want everybody to know I got this and I got something to say, so I'm going to be on TikTok. You know, folks losing their minds and not spending any time with God. But hours on TikTok, hours on Snapchat, hours on Facebook, looking up everybody else's business. And then, you know, we can't have Twitter. We got to have X. You know, it's like, Lord, help us. Help us, help us, help us. You know, we want to be entertained, but we don't want to search out the Word of God. And everything, if you read the Word of God, that's going on now has been already told in prophetic words, coming to light in our time. From this weather and sickness, it's all in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. God has appointed the one as well as the other. We tend to see good times as the blessing of God and bad times as the work of the devil. Ooh. But such a view is short-sighted. Wow. Nothing reaches us without first passing through the hands of our sovereign God. Talking about this with a friend of mine, actually with Evangelist Shannon, where we give the devil too much credit for everything. Oh, I got this mess because the devil done came in and made a mess. No, you made that mess, and you got to clean it up. And I tell my son, y'all left them dishes, and y'all got to wash them up. You broke my dishwasher, so now you got to deal with the consequences. Oh, no dishwasher. Oops, bam. You know, bottom line is that we have got to understand the devil is not responsible for everything. God allows us don't have anything to do with the devil. They are our mistakes. They are our situation. If you are a shopaholic and you have all kind of stuff and no place to put it, that you have become a hoarder, that's on you. If you have, come on, let's call it, have been stepping out with Mrs. Jones and you get caught, it's on you. The devil didn't make you step out with Mrs. Jones. And Mrs. Jones, the devil didn't make you step out with Mrs. Johnson. You both know that you was married and that your spouses were friends. And you're going to take opportunity. Come on now. We can't always say the devil made him do anything. The devil didn't make Solomon give it to 1,000 women. 700 wives and 300 concubines. The devil didn't make him do that. And now he's feeling all of that anger. He's feeling all that melancholy. He's feeling vanity is a vanity. It's like the wind. You know, come on. And I love how Dr. Stanley breaks it down, how to control our anger. And he says in Isaiah 64:9, the prophet implores God with these words, do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. This passage implies that God measures his anger in a way appropriate to each occasion. We too can learn how to measure our anger and focus that we do no harm. How do we go about that? In Ephesians 4:26, God exhorts us to control our anger so that we don't sin. While anger itself is not sinful, it can quickly lead to sin. A line exists that we must not cross. How do we know when we have crossed it? Clearly, we must avoid verbal abuse and physical violence. But anger can lead to other sins just as deadly. Whenever you see the following in your life, you know you have crossed the line. Strife. These are things to write down, to think about when you are getting angry and how you got to take a minute and say, Lord, ooh, Father God, whew, I need you. I need you to take this anger away. 29:22, if you need scripture, tells us that an angry man stirs up strife. Strife can take many forms, but it always pits one person against another. Even if things don't become loud or violent, Isaiah warns against employers who took unfair advantage of their workers. They try to cover their tracks with religious observance. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness, but it wouldn't work. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Isaiah 58:4. You got folks that like to pit people against each other. I've been a supervisor, and I've watched management try to pit supervisor against supervisor. Well, you know, that group is doing so much better than yours. You know, their productivity is much higher than your unit. And, you know, got to get up there. And then when you look at the statistics, Beth is not doing better. Beth's unit is not doing better than your unit. Your unit is doing the thing. But then they go to Beth and say, well, you know, your unit is not doing so well as Bridget's unit, and you need to get in there and do a little bit more. And, yes, she does. But my unit is doing what they're supposed to do. But yet you're going to try to put me and Beth against each other when me and Beth are friends. And now Beth is angry at me because she thinks I done said something about her to the supervisor. And instead, supervisor doesn't know that my unit is helping Beth's unit. And I'm not saying anything because we're getting the work done together. And then you have to break it down to Beth. Hey, who's helping you? And why would I try make you look bad when the supervisor's over here telling me that your unit's doing better than mine? And so then it makes you want to say, well, why am I helping her if they're doing better than us. But all of it is somebody trying to create confusion because they don't like the fact that these two units are working as a team. There are some folks that just can't stand teamwork. They can't stand the fact that you get along your unit. You get along with your staff. There are management that really don't like supervisors that get along with their staff. They want to keep confusion. I watched it, especially in law school. You got people up against other units. The sheriff's office against the local law enforcement. The local law enforcement against the state. All of this foolishness. And it's nothing but keeping strife and anger going. You got black folks mad at white folks. You got folks killing each other because some politician told them that they don't need to be woke. You know, excuse me. God didn't tell us to sleep. A lazy man stays asleep. God tells us to get up and wake up. You cannot be asleep and accomplish anything. It's time for everybody to get woke. It's time for everybody to wake up and see the wiles of foolishness that's going on in this nation. God is not a God of hate. God is not a God of this one's better than that one. We all reign on the just and the unjust. He reigns on the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we got to get out of the foolishness of prejudice and bigotry and hatred over what somebody looks like, over what somebody wears, over what somebody calls themselves. We got work to do. We got work to do, and it's time to go to work. It's time to wake up and do what God calls us to do. God is not calling us to be bitter. Bitterness is another thing we need to strive. Number one, bitterness. Number two, in Psalms 30:5, says that God's anger is but for a moment. And Ephesians 4:26 warns us against staying angry overnight. And sending anger usually leads to bitterness. So God instructs us, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speech be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31. Number three, isolation. Nursing our anger leads to people. 28 warns us against this by pointing out that a whisper separates the best of friends. Well, you know, Rita, Aunt Valerie said this, that, and the other about you. Well, you know, Aunt Valerie. Aunt Rita said this, that, and the other about you. And so you got your auntie at each other's throat because you don't whisper and lie. You got to stop, and we see it in families all the time, to the point where one family member just backs off and has nothing to do with other family members because somebody doesn't whisper and lie. And this is what it says, retaliation. Romans 12:19 addresses this directly. Do not, my brother, give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Remember, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, James 1:10. We got to pray. We've got to ask God to control our anger. Solomon had isolated. Solomon had decided, you know, if you read this word, he sounds like he's angry and bitter. He's isolated. And he's like, let me just tell you this. All this wisdom, and he is melancholy. He is upset about whatever it may be. We don't know, but we know that he is going through. We all go through. You know, this morning, it was, well, you know, it looks like you're trying to come down with a cold, but maybe you need to cancel your show today. You don't need it. Go, you know, you can just read your Bible. You don't have to share it with the God. No, I may have a cough. I may have to put it on break so I can sneeze, so I can blow my nose, whatever it is. God's word has got to go forth. because God has given this to me as an assignment to get his word into the atmosphere. Somebody who may be going through may just happen to come across a word in moving forward that touches their heart. We've got to trust God. We cannot let ourselves get angry. We can't let ourselves go through the vanity. And it's like the wind, like Solomon. You know, we got to understand he was going through. When you read the Proverbs, Proverbs 18, to me, is one of the best. It has everything you need in it. It talks about the son. It talks about husband, father, wife. It talks about it all. It's just that scripture that takes you there. Solomon, don't blame. David, didn't blame. We got work to do. And when we go before God, we got to give him absolute. And I love this Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Got to bless God. We got to praise God. We got to give him, all of us, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. I'm claiming 100% healing of my sinuses, healing of my bronchial tube, healing of everything that, oh, hallelujah. What does it tell us? Everything. We got to ask God. We got to praise God. Who redeemed your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. The Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Even though Solomon was going through, even though David was going through, he never forgot God. You know, I know that it sounds like Solomon's all angry, he's all this, he's all that, but he loved God, but he forgot to give God the blessing that he was doing with him. We got to bless the Lord. He blesses us with life. He blesses us with hope. He blesses us with faith. And he covers us with his grace. What more could we ask for? And it says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, God, the same with it. God wants every part of us, body, soul, and spirit, to grow close to him and to enter into a joyful relationship with him. He seeks worshipers who will gladly give everything they are to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I get excited when I think about the goodness of God and how this morning, just a few minutes ago, I was congested and coughing and just feeling like, oh my goodness, do I need to just say, we'll come back together tomorrow. But God said, you're going to do this, and then you're going to clear up. All you got to do is have faith in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faith. Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've got to have that Hebrew faith. We've got to trust God. And I love this proverb again. Ecclesiastes, which Solomon's going through. What did our little book tell us about Ecclesiastes? I don't have it just yet at where I am right now. But we'll go back over it. Because in those 10 words or less, you know, Solomon is going through. But we all go through. And we all have our moments where we just talk about things that are going wrong. But then something greater come out of it. Solomon, for God, he brought him to the end. and was out there cutting the wood with everybody of God. And it goes on to say, wisdom, but then he comes back in Proverbs, and he takes us that. He says the wisdom is too lofty for food. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. He's got all kind of great words that are common sense. Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs, is a common sense book. It is common sense. You know, Solomon speaks wisdom to us so that even the most unknowledgeable person can catch something in Proverbs. And as we go to 1 Corinthians, Paul also goes through. But Paul lets you know he stands on the rock of Jesus. And he says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses. And in the sea, he's given a history lesson. Understand, our forefathers came through the Exodus, came through, hallelujah, the Red Sea, came through the 40 years in the desert with a cloud by day and fire by night. You know, he didn't get into all that. He talked about the spiritual food. Come on. Drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Hallelujah. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why? They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. That's why they got scattered in the wilderness. That's why they didn't make it into the promised land, because they did not have faith. They did not believe all of you could bring them through. He brought you through the Red Sea. He brought you through the desert. He brought you through the door of the promise. And what did you do? That you decided we going back to Egypt. We're not going to stay here. He brought us out here to kill us. Oh, yes, the land is everything you could ever want. But there's giants over there. But there's people over there that have armies and David did. And there's no way we can go over there. I know he brought us, but ooh, look at these big old huge grapes. Look at the milk and the honey. You got everything you need. But we need to go back to Egypt because we brought us here to kill us over there. There's no way we can take that land. You know, them sins. That folks are all messed up. To the point where they wanted to kill the two. Who said, yes, we can. We can do this. God be with us. We can do this. We can make it into this land. This land of promise. God brought us to it. We can make it in. But then you had the schemers. The ones that didn't have nothing. They were just visiting. Because understand, everybody that came out of Egypt were not of the tribe of Israel. They were hangar owners. And hangar owners, they were just sons and daughters of them, coming to create confusion. And that's what they did. Well, I'm going back to Egypt. You know, at least in Egypt we had food. At least in Egypt we had everything. Just think about this. When our ancestors, hallelujah, were freed from slavery, there were those that wanted to stay in slavery. There were those who were master took care of us. We made sure we had food to eat. Yeah, we had to work and to feed it. And yeah, some folks, you know, but he had everything we need. now, you know, we got to go out here in the world. We don't know. No. God brought you to it. God will bring you through it. And look what he has done. In all these hundred and some odd years, look what God has done. Hallelujah. Almost 200 years of freedom. And there are those that would like to take us back. But we got to keep moving forward in the word of God and moving forward in the Lord. He will not enslave his people again. We are free because God made us free. Yes, he may have used Abraham Lincoln. Yes, he may have used the Union soldiers. But it was God that brought us through. These 400 years of enslavement is his basis. And we are not going back. You know, we got to look at some similarities. And it says, now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Now let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complained, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who on now. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. As to wise men, judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The blood, the bread which we communion of the body of Christ. For we so many are one bread and one body. For all the things of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who deal of the sacrifice, who eat of the sacrifice, but partakers of the altar. And I need to read that again. I got to read it again. And it says this, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to wise men. Judge for yourself. Be blessed, not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, so many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh, are not those of the sacrifices. And as we go to this life lesson from 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, all these things were written for our admonition. Everything in the scripture exists for our example, warning and admonition. We are to note that God's people did in the past, what God's people did in the past, and how God reacted to them in order to move ahead in our own walk of faith. God wants us to walk in faith. We cannot stay in the past. We cannot allow the enemy to take us down a road that is not of God. God loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to understand that we belong to him. And he belongs to us. I am so grateful to be a child of God, because I know that you love me and that he cares for me. And guess what? He loves me too, and always. You know, and I went and looked up the word, because everybody doesn't know certain words, but the word admonition, it says counsel, advice, or caution, a gentle reproof, a warning or reproof given by an ecclesiastical authority. God is warning us. All these things are written for our warning, for our reproof. Paul gave us history lessons, and we have to give history lessons. Let us remind folks that everything is for a purpose and a reason. And we have got to remember who we belong to and that he will always give us warning. Are you trusting today? Are you believing that he will make a way out of no way and that he's got you covered from the ground of your wheels to the soles of your feet? And this is what first God says. Good morning. I mean, what Sister Carolyn says. Excuse me, y'all. I done got Sister Carolyn all in the word. But this is what our sister says this morning. And it's right on point. With bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We got to learn how to pray. And Sister Carolyn says this morning, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Have a terrific Tuesday as we bless the Lord, as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we let God know how good and how excellent it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. We are unified in our belief. Jesus is the Son of God, and that his body he gave for us. His blood he gave for us. His death, he rose again for us. He sits on the right hand of our Father God and intercedes for us. Thank God every day that he blessed us with his Son. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget all his benefits. We forgive all your iniquities. We healed all your diseases. Who redeemed your life from destruction. Who crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who supplies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Psalm 103:1-5. Keep them in your heart today. And give God hallelujah praise. That is all I have this morning. If there is someone that has a word, now is the time to call 213-943-3597. And if you are already on the line, if there's a word that God has put in your heart, now is the time to put that number one on your phone. And if there is no one, we thank God again for his mighty word. We thank God that there is a time for everything. And we thank God that again, that you'll stand the time. Sunday through Friday, it's time for him. Thank you so much for listening in, family. That's all I have today. And for those that came in late, prayer for this morning. Wise words. And it just says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. New King James Version. And a question for today is, do you test that you are able to test? Do you trust, excuse me, that you are able to test whether a teaching is from God or not? And that's what I say to you today. Keep testing. Keep trusting God to lead you where you need to go and give you the word you need to speak. Watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Continue praying for our shut-ins. Pray for our, for those that, your, pray for those that are shut in and sick in your congregations. And we ask you to continue praying for Mother Valerie, Mother Rita, Mother Bowie, all these awesome women of God who I call aunties, who Sister Carolyn calls aunties. Continue watching over as well as she brings us a beautiful word from God every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. We've got to continue lifting up the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to let folks know who you are. You are a child of God. And wherever we go, take him with us. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, and present with praying for each and every one of you. Again, please keep Sister Teresa, Evangelist Teresa in your prayers, and as well as Pastor Alexander. You know, each are dealing with medical situations. You know, and again, thank you for those that were praying for me this morning. When we first started, I was dealing with some serious congestion. But get, look at God. Ah! Cleared it up. Won't he do it? Can y'all say it with me? Yes, he will. Because it is a wrap. Because we are always really ready, available, and present in place for each and every one of you. Be blessed and peace.